I've been talking about, since around the beginning of the year, I've been talking about knowing who we are in Christ. And I'm going to continue in that vein this evening. Those of you that have watched a while and you know me, you know that I like humor and things like that. And all that I was thinking about, a cartoon I used to watch when I didn't really understand what I was watching, was Popeye the Sailor. And what I liked about Popeye is he would walk around singing his song, "I am what I am, and that's all that I am." And when I think about that as a, for us as believers, that's the way that's the mindset we need to adopt. We need to know we are who we are and never change our identity. There's a song, and the verses, part of the verses to that song are, "We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, and I know who I am." All that we require for life God has given us, and the reason we can receive it is because we know who we are. That is so important, folks, because if you don't know who you are, you miss out on everything that's provided for you. One thing I knew when I was growing up, some of my friends, I call them knuckleheads, would get upset with their parents and say they're going to run away from home. And I started thinking, you hear it enough, I start thinking, do I want to run away from home? And the answer for me was a resounding no. Because I started thinking about everything that I had at 12726 140th Street in South Ozone Park, Queens. And I said, I can run away from home if I want to, but I'm not going to have mommy's cooking. I'm not going to have the benefit of mommy's protection. I'm not going to have any of those things. And that's what the prodigal son found out. He didn't want to identify with his father anymore for whatever reasons. And he left. And he soon found out that when he changed his identity, everything about him changed. His mindset, his provisions, his protection, it all changed. And he saw himself eating the same, well, the pigs had better meals than he did. And he said, I'm going to remember who I am and go back home, and I'm going to apologize to my father, and I'm going to apologize to my God. And he started living the life, or I should say he got restored to the life that he once knew. It's all about your identity. Who are you identifying with? What are you identifying with? We are a chosen generation. And the reason we were chosen was to go forth and show His excellence, God's excellence. And because we're supposed to show His excellence, all we require, every single need we have for life, God has given us. And the key words, for me, the key words, and I know who I am. The reason I say those are key words, folks, is because all you require for life, God has given you. He's put it in place. But if you don't know who you are, you won't appropriate it. And you live as a pauper when you're a prince. It's about your identity. And those of you that know me or have come to know me know that I like to look up words, like meanings. And then a lot of times, words that I think I know, when I research them, I find out I didn't know as much about them as I thought. But identity is a set of behavioral or personal characteristics by which an individual is recognized as a member of a group. It's the state or fact of remaining the same, even under varying aspects or conditions. That's the key. That just got illumined to me tonight when I shared it Sunday. I didn't get the same illumination. But when you think about it, It says the state of fact of remaining the same under varying aspects or conditions. That means no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, you stay the same. We don't move off of who we are. We're not defined by circumstances. We're defined by God's definition. It's the condition of being oneself or itself and not another. It's the state or fact of being the same one as described. Understand this, folks. Our behavior is always or will always be an indicator of who we really are. Not who we think we are, but who we are. And the scriptures say in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10 in the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I think you can see me now. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. And as God's people, all the attributes of God should always be seen in us. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. But there's something that goes along with that assignment. We have to understand that in order to make the connection, we have to know who we are and know whose we are. Let me show you something. In Genesis 1, verse 26 and 28. Very familiar passage of scripture. Pastor Clinton used to always, seemed like almost every message, he was going back to Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God's intent was to have a being called man, or beings called man, because he said, "Let them," that's more than one. And they were supposed to have the same authority, the same power that he did. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of man created he him. Male and female created he them." I put in parentheses, just like he said he would. "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God gave us his attributes so that we can identify with him. And the expectation is that if anything came up on the earth, God wasn't the one that would handle it. His man would handle it because his man could do everything he could do. In Ephesians 5:1 simply says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Be ye therefore followers of God. That means whatever God does, we do. See, what's a follower? Well, the concordance says the word follower, when used in that scripture, means an imitator. So what's an imitator? Well, I went to the dictionary for this meeting. It means to follow or endeavor to follow as a model or example, to mimic, to impersonate, to make a copy, to reproduce closely, to have or assume the appearance of, to simulate or resemble someone or something. And very simply, it says to make or be like, resemble, or simulate. Simply stated, we're told to be like God. That's the simple version. We're supposed to be like God in every area of our lives. It means in what we say, what we do includes how we act in certain situations. I mean, Sunday I told the story of a lady who was obviously agitated, and I know this has never happened to anybody. This guy cut her off, stopped short in front of her, and she was upset, and she's banging on the horn and using foul language and foul gestures. And the police officer knocked on the window and made her get out of the car and arrested her. And after taking her to the station and going through his process, he apologized to her and told her that he saw her acting out. I'm giving you the short version of it. He saw her and heard her cursing and all that stuff, and he said he looked and he saw an I Love Jesus bumper sticker on her car, and he saw a Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker. He saw the symbol of the Holy Ghost, they call it the Christian fish, on the car. He said, so obviously I thought the car was stolen, because the behavior of the woman didn't match up with who she said she was. That's not being an imitator. If we're going to be imitators of Christ, that means no matter what happens, we're going to imitate Christ's behavior. We're going to imitate what God would do. You know, I don't know what happened to those WWJD bracelets if they're still around. I haven't seen them lately. But that had to be our mindset. What would Jesus do? What would God do? Or maybe it's better to say it this way. In this situation, am I doing what God would do? Am I responding the way Jesus would respond? One of the things we're supposed to be modeling after Christ and after God, Jesus said to us, he gave us the key, he said, I only do those things my Father shows me. Do we go to God in all situations and let him show us what to do? Or do we make up our own mind and blame God? But since we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we're commanded to follow him, when people see us, shouldn't they see a reflection of God? When you think about it? And since we proclaim to be children of the Most High God, shouldn't people who have heard us make that proclamation have a right to expect our behavior, speech, and actions to line up with who we say we are in Christ? We get upset the way the world treats believers in general. And I talk to a lot of people. If you make eye contact with me, I'm going to at least say good morning, good afternoon, something. But I'm going to initiate a conversation. And I'm not embarrassed to tell people I'm a pastor. I'm certainly not embarrassed to tell them where I pastor, the name of the church. And they tell me, almost to a person, I used to go to church. And I said, well, what happened? And they say, no offense, Pastor, but I find out that people say one thing and do something else. I said, yeah, I see that also. But that's not everybody. I said, I used to think the same way you thought, and I stayed away from church from 16 to 34 because of it. But that's not everybody. That's not even most people. It's just that the devil highlights the ones that aren't doing it right. So we remember those. But the world has, what I want you to understand is that the world has a right to expect us to act like Christians. They have a right to expect us to be who we say we are. They have a right to, well, let me say it this way. Someone said this to me, I don't remember who it was. That the world can't see God, but they can see his reflection in us. So the question is, how are we portraying our father? I remember mommy used to say to me, we don't do, and that's not what we do in this house. And if you want to do that, you have to go someplace else. But people have a right to, okay. It's just like with love. Love covers a multitude of sins, is what the scripture tells us. Jesus said to us, a new commandment I give you, love ye one another. The same way I love you, you love one another. So now if someone knows that you're a Christian and they wronged you, they have a right to expect forgiveness. They have a right to expect us to forgive them. Because love always forgives. Now, we may not like that saying, but since we're commanded to be imitators of God, and the scriptures tell us that God is love, then anyone that comes in our presence has a right to expect to feel loved. By our tone, by our mannerisms, by our words, by our actions. Because it's who we are. And the Bible tells us that love is the greatest, so we walk around with the greatest weapon there is and won't use it. None of that's in these notes, but I guess the Holy Ghost wanted me to say it. All this is supported by Scripture in Ephesians 5:1 and various translations. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Our oldest son is a comedian. I really should have encouraged him to just, he's just a natural. And one of my siblings got married. I couldn't attend the wedding, but I wrote something and I asked him to, as my oldest son, I said, will you share this with the people as a greeting to the bride and groom from me? Expecting that he would deliver it like it's from me. No. He turned it into a stand-up act. And the people were laughing for 45 minutes. It took him 45 minutes to deliver a 10 minute greeting. But everyone was rolling because that was his gift. You say, well, how he didn't copy you. Yeah, he did. He's always known me to do what I felt was right in every situation. And who he was, it just came out. He said, Dad, I tried, but I couldn't be serious. He said, you know, it's not who I am. Who you are, it's going to come out. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. The CEV says, do as God does. After all, you are his dear children. The Phillips translation, the Phillips New Testament says, as children copy their fathers, you, as God's children, are to copy him. Message Bible. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. But I like the first part about that, because it gives us the key as to what we really need to do. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Watch what God does. One of the problems that plagues us is we don't watch what God does. We'll watch what someone else other than God does. And because it seems easier, we do that. But lastly, the Passion Translation says, be imitators of God in everything you do. For then you will represent your father as his beloved sons and daughters. So it doesn't say be imitators of God in some of the things that you do. It doesn't even say in most of the things that you do. It says be imitators of God in everything that you do. I wish Deacon Ken was here because I always ask him, what does all mean? Because he got the revelation of all. Well, everything is like all. What's left out of everything? Nothing. It says, be imitators of God in everything you do. So no matter what comes, no matter what we face in this life, our reaction should always be one that would be done by our Father God. No matter what the situation. My heart goes out, and I'm very proud of them at the same time, when I hear people whose loved one was tragically killed by someone else, and the person got on national TV and said, I'm a Christian, I'm called to walk in love, I forgive you. And I read a story of this lady that not only forgave the son, but took him in as her own son after he got out of jail. Why? She was a Christian. That's what she believed. And just because this guy killed her son was not a good enough reason for her to go against who she was in Christ, to go against what God said. She murdered her son. The Apostle Paul murdered more than that. God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He's the one that wrote to the Ephesians, be imitators of God. As the Passion Translation says, in everything you do. But if someone's going to imitate you, they have to know what you have. They have to know what you know. They have to know what you said you're going to do. They have to study everything it is about you so they get to know you. One of the things that shocked my sons and my nephews, because they were always wanted to go, even if I was going to the store, they wanted to come with me. And just like I was imitating my mom, because I could walk down the boulevard with $100 bills. I didn't have $100 bills, but if I did, I could have them hanging out my pocket and no one would touch me because I was Miss Ruby's son. Well, my family could walk down neighborhoods and no one would bother them because there's Foot's son, that's Foot's nephew, that's Foot's wife. You know, people knew, and knew it was better to stay on my good side than my bad side because I wasn't a Christian. I was very worldly. But in this one particular case, we were going over to visit my mom, and there was a parking space right in front of her home. And so I'm like, oh, great. I pulled the car in, and this young kid comes to the driver's side window, banging on the door of the car. And I'm like, what's the matter? What's wrong? He said, move your car. So what do you mean, move my car? He was very belligerent. Move your car. And I said, why? It's not in the driveway. He said, my mother's on the way home from work, and this is where she parks. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, let me let them out. Now I'll move the car. I said, no, you move the car now. The kid. Fortunately for him, I had gotten born again by that time. And I looked at him, and I smiled. And I looked at my sons and my nephews, and I saw the look on their face, and I said to them, it's okay, I'll move the car. And they were like, ah. Like all the breath came out of them. And I moved the car, and we proceeded on to visit with my mom. But I said to them, I said, do you want to ask me why I handled it that way? And they were like, Uncle Greg, we don't want to say anything, but that's not like you. You could have broken him in half. I said, and what would that have proven? He's a kid. And it's a conflict between an adult male, 6'6", 230 pounds, and a 15, 16-year-old kid, I'm going to jail. I said, but Foots may have done that, but Gregory can't, because that's not the way Christ expects me to operate. They looked at me and they said, wow. What if he hits you? I ought to stop him from hitting me. But if God says I have to forgive, I have to forgive. And he was trying to do a good thing. His mother was working all day. Why should she have to come home and walk a block, a half a block to find parking when she can park right in front of where she lives? I said, so just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you have to. They had to get to know me. I should say they had to get to not a word, but they had to re-know me. Hope you folks understand what I mean by that. They had to get to know me all over again, because the things that they knew about me, I didn't identify with those things anymore, because now I'm in Christ. So they had to learn what I now know, what I now have, so they could imitate it. They had to know how I was, they had to have a knowing of how I would handle any situation. They knew, you know, like the Hulk, Uncle Greg would just smash them. Uncle Greg, I just figured I'd pray for them. I said, good. He said, that's what you do, right? I said, yeah, that's what I would do. You have to, who you are imitating, you have to take time to study. You have to take time to get to know who you are. That's why Joshua says to meditate in the word day and night, observing to do all that's required therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. But the key is studying. You have to study to show yourself approved. What do you mean show yourself approved? When the hammer falls, when the rubber meets the road, the Christ in you, the God in you, is what comes out. Because that's what you have fixed in your mind and in your thoughts. And it requires work. I came across a scripture. I know most things aren't by accident, but I would use the term by accident. Hebrews 6:12 in the easy to read version. It says, we don't want you to be lazy. We want you to be like those who, because of their faith and patience, will get what God has promised. So that lets us know we have to work at this. If we're going to get what God has promised, we have to get who God is. I like that verse because it lets us know, yeah, we can do it, but it's going to require some effort. Because when he says he doesn't want you to be lazy, it means he expects us to be out there working, not just laying down, waiting for God to just pour different things on. No, we have to get in work. We have to stay with it. We have to keep reminding ourselves of our identity. I'll get what God has promised because he's my father and I'm his child. I'll get what he promised because he promised me. And he can't go back on his word. Remember the definition of identity: set of behavioral or personal characteristics by which an individual is recognized as a member of a group. The state or fact of remaining the same no matter what happens. The condition of being oneself or itself and not something else. The state or fact of being the same is described. And we're remembering that a behavior will always be an indicator of who we are, not who we think we are. See, God wants us all to be like those who, because of their new faith and patience, will get. Say, will get. I know I can't hear you, but I just want you to say it anyway. You will get what God has promised. And the question is, do you want to get what God has promised? And if the answer is, yes, I do, then the first thing we need to understand is God already made it possible and has already told us how to get it. He said, be imitators of him. Watch him and do what he does. Copy him. Follow his example. Assume his appearance. That means you can't, I can't walk around like a stone face. I have to walk around in peace. When you look at me, you need to see peace. When you come in my presence, you should be, it should have a calming effect on you. You should feel like I'm easy to talk to. And you should feel that I'm a safe harbor. A safe harbor. See, I can tell you the truth. I could be honest. Because I was what you would call brutally honest. And was proud of it. I'm brutally honest. I can be honest. I found out that being in Christ, I can be honest without being brutal. I could be honest and speak to a person in love. I once had to terminate an employee, and the person said to me, "The way when you're talking to me, I didn't think you were telling me I was terminated. I thought you were taking me out to dinner or something." You talk to people, and you let the love you have for people come out. Even if you have to correct them, you don't have to be brutal with it. Because our Father is not brutal with us. And he said, be imitators of him, watch him, do what he does, copy him, follow his example. He told us, assume his appearance. So if he's telling me to do that, then that, I'm taking that to mean that's what people should see when they see me. That's what the world should see when they see us. They should see imitators of Christ. They should see people doing what Jesus does. They should copy him, following his example and assuming his appearance. Not walking around looking like we're an axe murderer, but walking around like we genuinely love the people. That's why I believe that's one of the main reasons, the other being Satan just wants us to join him in hell. But I think that's one of the main reasons that the enemy comes against us so much. I look at some things online and some alerts come to me, and there's a lot of church bashing going on. Too much. One is too much, is too many. But the devil's sitting back laughing because the world will remember that. What are you talking about? Well, all the stereotypes that you've heard about church people is seeming to be highlighted, and the world is watching. And people need to see examples of true Christians. True believers, it's better said, see examples of folks who follow hard after Christ. Folks who've chosen to imitate Christ no matter what's going on around them or in them. We've made a decision, I'm going to imitate Christ, period. Why? I am that I am. And that's all that I am. And it's not on Popeye the Sailor. I'm a child of the Most High God. I am a chosen generation called forth to show his excellence. And all I require for life, God has given me. And I can appropriate it because I know who I am. How do you get to the same place? Well, I'll read this and then I'll close. Just say this after me. I'm just trusting that you're saying it. I am a follower of God. I am an imitator of God. I am copying him and following his example. I am doing as God does. I am watching what God does, and then I am doing it. For I am has sent me, And I am because he says I am. What do I mean by that? When Moses asked God, who do I tell the people sent me? What should I tell them your name is? He said, I am that I am. I'm going to leave you with this. Get you thinking about it. God made us in his image and after his likeness. He told us to copy him, to imitate him. He said his name, I am that I am. Well, what would you call I am children? If my father is I am that I am and acts like it, and I'm made in his image and his likeness, then I am that I am. I am who I am says I am. I am who I am says I am. So I have a right to walk around like I am because I am. I am who I am. That's all that I am. That's all that I am. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sharing us what you wanted to share with us, what we needed to hear, because of the season that we're in. With all this chaos, folks want to know that you are real and that I can, that they can have a relationship with you, and they will get that through us, your children. So we thank you, Father, that all of your children have an immediate revelation of who they are. And know they are because you are. We am because you am. And we can do as you do. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to give revelation to all of your children as to who they are. And bring to our attention the areas in our lives that don't line up with who we are as a child of the Most High God. And we thank you for the results that are going to come, the praise reports, the testimonies that are going to come, because the people encountered your children who know who they are. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I am that I am. Be followers of God as dear children. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they go through him. So if we're going to become like God, we're going to have to go through Christ. And God makes it very easy for you to go through Christ. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It's that simple. So why don't you make this confession? It won't hurt if you already made it. Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe Jesus the Christ is your Son. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I believe that after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I stretch my hands to you and I ask you to come into my life. Come live in my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that prayer and you said it with your mouth, and you believed it in your heart, you just got born again. You're probably wondering, okay, what's the next step? I don't feel any different. I may feel a little more peaceful, but what do I do next? Great questions. The next thing you do is contact us. We put the information on the screen. You contact us, email, mail, or by phone. You call, I will return the call. May not be the same day, but I promise you, I'll return the call. And if I'm not available, someone else, Someone will get back to you, but I want to talk to you. So contact us, and we will send you free information to let you know who you've become in Christ and what are some of the next things that you want to get yourselves involved in. First thing I'll tell you right now, you want to find a Bible that you can understand and start reading, because you want to know who God is. You want to know who Christ is so you can imitate him, them. And also, if you have any questions, something you understand or you have a thought, use the same contact information and contact me. Like I said, I will respond and help you as best we can.